Yes.
Three people heard me.
Uh-huh. Not to stay here, but to get it ready.
More will be hearing from me during these 10 days of prayer. We got 10 days of awe kicking off. Amen. Wednesday night. 10 days of prayer.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. What has been on delay is about to be released.
Hallelujah.
What has been on hold, amen, it's about to be turned loose. Rakia, that was you leading worship this morning? Was that you? Uh-huh. All right. What was on delay and what was on hold? Ooh. Man, we was in the back room and Deacon Bruce said, let me do something outside of my comfort zone. He said, Pastor C and Pastor Vicky, let me pray for y'all before we go out there this morning. You understand? That has been on hold. It's being released now. And that that was afraid is now about to walk in a supernatural boldness. That nothing shall by any means get in your way and in front of your anointing anymore. Tell your personality to look out.
Look out. Anybody
you who used to be an introvert,
come on.
You're about to be the most explosive extrovert that the kingdom has ever seen. Amen.
Come on, anybody else stepping out of their comfort zone? Come on, we ought to celebrate God that I'm not the same I used to be. I'm not the same Pastor Vicky that I was a year ago. I'm not the same Marja Jones that I was a year ago. Something has happened on the inside of me, and it's reflecting, come on, in the arenas that I come into. They're just not staying the same. But it was prophesied. I said it when Elder Gill said it. The fresh wind of God is blowing over this house. And if you receive it, you ought to lift your hands and just stir it up and say, do it, do it, do it in me, God. I'm tired of being the same old mundane day-to-day activity. I need something supernatural to manifest in my life.
That's it.
Come on, y'all. I need something supernatural to manifest in my life.
I'm telling you, Jesus. I'm telling you, hands are going to be laid on the sick. And it ain't going to be recovered tomorrow, but it's going to be recovered right now.
By faith.
Right now in Jesus' name.
By faith in His word.
Deliverance is not going to be substance abuse in 12 steps, but it's going to be one step, amen, in Jesus' name. And the taste buds are going to dry up. You'll never take another drink. You'll never take another hit. You'll never take another pop. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, there's a supernatural stirring in the atmosphere. And if you're not plugged in, you're going to be on the wayside watching what's taking place. And you're going to see the miracle, but you should have been the miracle. And so you got to get connected in this hour and in this season. This is not the time to think about it, but this is the time to be about it. You got
to
get ready. So look at somebody. I feel Bishop Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
It's happening.
My.
It's happening. Woo!
This morning, take your seat, Take your seat. Oh, my.
Man.
Take your seat. There's a stirring. James, let's go ahead and run around that thing for a minute.
Wow. I pronounce over the house that the head is not afraid. Woo! And so the spirit of boldness that rests on the head will now fall down and rest on the body. The body's going to move where the head is going. And we release a new level of authority and power and movement in the spirit realm. And it's manifesting in the earth realm. And we're going to see the manifested results in the days ahead. Come on, you can just go where we're going. Come on, we're going where we're going by faith. And our spirit is already there. And our body just got to catch up with it. We launch your spirit into the things that God has already shown you. Take your spirit there first and then command your body to catch up with it. I launch your spirit now into the secret places that God has shown you. We release your spirit now into the hands of God that will carry you where He's shown you. Redream and rethink and rehearse what He's shown you. See your promises. See your abundance. See your increase. See your household salvation. See sickness and disease healing up in your body. See cancer cells drying up right in the promises that you have shown me. If he said it, he's gonna do it.
Gonna do it.
If he said it, he's gonna do it. If he promised it to you, he's gonna fulfill it. Just wrap your spirit, not your mind, because your mind can't comprehend the things of God. Woo, but wrap your spirit around what God has shown you and claim it as yours.
It's already done.
Hallelujah.
It's already done. This morning we're talking about the victory.
Woo,
this morning, don't think it's strange, it's atmosphere.
Oh,
right
Jesus.
We're talking this morning about the victory of faith. We've dealt with the voice.
We've dealt with the vision.
We've dealt with the value. Now we're going to deal with
the victory. We're walking in victory.
We're walking in victory.
We're walking in victory. Every step you take is just one step closer to the victory that God has promised you.
This is the victory.
That's why Joshua
said,
"Break
the wall.
The whole of your feet shall tread upon." Sometimes you got to get up and move because the sole of your feet got to claim the territory and the land and the promises.
Nothing shall be impossible.
Yes.
Amen.
We got. And let the enemy know that I'm not settling. I'm not sitting. And I'm not settling for what you showed me. And let the enemy know I'm moving, Elder Karen. Oh, I'm moving. I'm moving into the places that God has called me to go. And the things that God has shown me to possess. Come on, a little bit of movement is good for the house of God. Because it makes the enemy nervous. My God, it makes them nervous.
We shift into the kingdom.
Make them nervous, baby.
My mind. Let's do this. The victory.
The victory.
The victory of faith.
Victory.
We got to deal with this. The victory.
We got to do the victory.
We can't send you out of here without the victory.
Because we already got it. Let me tell you
the last point. The last point for the victory of faith is when all else fails, praise him like you done lost your mind. Let me tell you the last step first.
Woo, that's how you confuse the confuser and manipulate the manipulator.
Start with the last step first. See, we finished already.
Woo.
When it don't look like it's working, instead of crying and complaining,
my God,
you just break out with a praise
like you're crazy. Woo. Woo, outside the comfort zone, y'all. Outside the comfort zone.
Shout the victory of faith.
Woo, the victory of faith. My God.
The old saint said, victory is mine.
Victory.
I told Satan.
It's mine. It's yours.
Look at somebody and tell them, victory is mine. My.
I know, y'all.
We gotta jump on this. Let's go.
What you say, babe?
Let's go. First John.
First John, amen. 5.
First John chapter 5.
Woo! Sometimes you just can't help it, man. When you see what's going on around you, Gene, and you know that God's got something better in store for you, then when your spirit reaches the spirit of God and he shows you that it's already yours, you just can't help but praise him and celebrate him. Because you see it today as if it already has occurred, but your body's still catching up with it. like he done already done the thing. 1, 2, 3, you better praise him. That's what gets his attention, is our faith. It's already done. There you go, Keisha. I see ya. It's already done. And my praise is evident. One more time, y'all.
Let's grab your Bible. Grab your Bible.
Grab your Bible.
Grab your iPad. Grab your iPhone.
Miss TJ, go back to your seat. Grab your Bible.
Grab something. Grab your neighbor and bring them back to the seat.
Bring them back, Roger.
Let's go.
Bring
let's
them
go.
Back. Okay.
Grab.
First John. We want to look
First
at
John
5.
Chapter 5.
Okay, I'm going to read this one. Pastor C is going to read Revelation.
First John chapter 5. Amen.
Starting at verse 4. Amen. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That sounds like victory to me. It says, and this is the victory.
Listen to this.
This right here is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So our faith is the victory. Come on, what we believe, come on, brings us the victory. It says our faith is the victory. We discussed various examples of faith in previous series. But no matter which example of faith, whether you're full of faith, perfect faith, come on, it's that faith that brings you your victory. Amen? It says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? Do we have any believers that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Hallelujah.
Look at somebody and say, your faith is your victory.
Your faith is your victory.
I need
That's
somebody
profound.
To get this.
Your faith.
Last week we talked about the value of faith, dealing with quantity and quality and all
yes,
of that.
Yes.
But you got to understand, it ain't a matter of how much faith you got. You just got to have faith.
Don't matter which.
And if you got faith, it can be the size of a mustard seed.
The smallest seed known to
all he need to do is see faith, and you already got the victory.
Already got the victory.
Look at somebody say, it ain't how much.
It ain't how much.
It's whether or not you have it.
Whether or not you have
it. That's why in Luke he says, will the Son of Man find faith in the earth realm when he returns?
That's it.
Look at this. Revelations. We're talking about the victory of faith.
Amen.
Revelations 12, 7 through 11. It says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And they prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Let me just pause right there and say, their place shall not be found anymore in the earth. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan.
Cast out.
Which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Why would God move him from heaven to the earth?
Come on.
Knowing that place he had given us dominion over.
Yes.
He was cast out of heaven and into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Look at this. And they overcame him. Somebody say the victory.
The victory.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Look at somebody and introduce this to us one more time. The victory
the
of
victory.
Faith. The victory of faith. Amen. The victory of faith. When we look at this word, when we deal with faith, it's important you can take your seats.
Amen.
With the exception of salvation through Jesus Christ, the message of faith is by far the most important message in the Bible.
Yes.
It's by far the most important message in the Bible.
Yes.
When we talk about faith, we look at faith from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Every believer's life has to be governed by faith. We say we walk by faith and not by sight. From the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, Mike, it says, God gave man supreme authority over the earth.
That's right.
And he told him, don't be afraid of Satan. But he told him, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. That word subdue it means rule over it and bring it into submission. According to the Bible, every victory that man has ever achieved,
amen.
Every victory that man has ever achieved from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and every promise that man has ever received,
yes,
was connected through faith.
Yes, it was.
Hebrews 11 and 33, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and obtained promises. Pastor Vicki, when we look at this text in Hebrews chapter 11, we refer to it as the faith declaration or the faith chapter in the Bible.
That's right.
And so when we talk about victories being achieved and promises received through faith,
yes,
just run down some, yes, of the references.
Well, last week I had referenced, and write this in your notes, Hebrews 13 and 7. See, sometimes we get to where we are and we want to forget. We want to forget where we've been. We want to forget the faith that our leaders had to possess and release. But it says, remember. Somebody shout, I need to remember. Come on, bring back to your remembrance. It says, your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. This is what we are to do. Consider, watch this, not what they're wearing, not what they're driving, not how many members they have in their church. Come on. It says, don't consider those things. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And so in that scripture PC lifted up, Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We talked about the evidence, didn't we? When we present to the judge, come on, our evidence, this is what we bring him to defend our case. So when we present to the Father sitting on the throne, our evidence is our faith. He don't want to hear a whole bunch. You ever heard a judge just say, shut it down. What you got? Show me the evidence. I don't need to hear all the extra conversation. Just give me the evidence. That's what our Father on the throne is doing. When we come to him with a whole bunch of babbling and conversation, he said, baby, just show me your faith.
Huh.
Show me the evidence that you believe what I said I would do and perform in your life. So running the reference, we see it talks about Cain and Abel, how Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, uh-huh, than Cain. And it talks about in verse 7 of that chapter 11, by faith Noah, come on, who was warned by God of things that were not yet seen in the earth realm. God ever warned you of something that you haven't even encountered just yet and you do it? Why do you do it? You do it by faith. How do you do it? You do it by faith. Come on.
Oh,
and he's saying, come on, everyone in the ark.
Hold on.
Sometimes you need to listen to those with faith.
Look at this, though. God told Noah it's going to rain, but he had never heard a sermon on rain yet.
Never knew what rain was. It's going, what?
He had never experienced rain yet. And he had to be the progenitor.
Come on, had to believe.
To set a standard and build something for rain, and didn't nobody know what rain looked like.
Until it started. He said, oh, that's what you was talking about, Lord. Yeah, we could have drowned out there.
Too many of us want all of the answers instead of just doing what God say do.
Believe. Believe in his word. That's good.
We don't like to look crazy doing stuff that ain't never been done
before,
and then getting people to believe that God said do it.
Yes, yes.
And so that's why every church almost looked the same.
Don't want to do anything different. Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow. Verse 8 talks about by faith. Somebody shout by faith.
By faith.
Come on. Abraham was called to go into a place which, come on, he would receive an inheritance, and he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to a land of promise, a strange country. And it says that there, come on, he and his heirs with him of the same promise, they looked for a city. They looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Come on, so they inherited the promises of God through faith. Through faith, Sarah, you know she was barren. She herself received strength to conceive a child. and delivered this child. Come on, even in the age that she was, but it says because she judged God faithful as he had promised. So you see the history, but don't forget Hebrews that says remember, remember. Some of us can put our name in that scripture.
Huh.
By faith, Andre Chambers did A, B, and C and accomplished D, E, and F. A, B, C, D, E, F.
Uh-huh. The thing you look at when you run this reference of the people's faith in the Bible, the references are there. But so many times we live our life in the Bible instead of making the Bible, making our life the Bible
yes,
for today.
Yes, yes.
And so we like to read the references
read the
of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But men today are looking at what you're doing.
Come on, put your name in the scripture.
You see, what are you doing by faith on this day? What is it that you are doing, amen, and you don't even know what you're doing, you're just doing it.
Yes, but sometimes you need to remember what you have done. Because we have done some things that we tend to forget about when we start believing God to do a new thing. He said, why don't you just remember, come on, y'all, what I've already done. And that will stabilize your faith for what I'm about to do in your future days ahead.
Huh.
Celebrate God for the faith we've already activated and what we've already seen manifested in our life. And if he was able to do that, surely, somebody say surely.
Surely.
He's able to do this.
Amen.
Amen.
The thing I like about this text that you're reading, though, is... We're talking about these people's victory. But we got to remember the victories we have acquired.
Absolutely.
And the same way that we give God praise for Sarah.
Yes.
The same way we give him praise for Noah.
That's good.
The same way we give him praise for Abraham.
Come on.
The same way we give him praise for David.
Yes.
The same way we give him praise for all of these others that are in the Bible,
yes,
we got to give him praise for what he's working in our own individual
Lord,
life.
Thank you.
You understand most of us in this room are our own most worst critic. We condemn ourselves more than anybody else, and therefore people can't see your victory because you're afraid to show who you really are. Do you not know that that sin that you overcame allowed your name to be put in this same text?
Amen.
Do you not know that that healing that
Amen.
You receive puts your name in this same text? But let me say this to you. Even if you don't receive that healing, your name will still be in this text.
Yes.
Because look at this. Look at this. Verse 13 in that text you just read. It says, these all died in faith. These all died in faith.
Yes.
Not having received the promises. Somebody, we got to stop right there. Well, I ain't going to come back to church no more if God don't do it. No, you ain't coming back because you lost your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're already done. It's a wrap. When you gave up your faith, you gave up your relationship.
Yeah.
If you ain't got no faith, you ain't got no relationship with God, and you ain't got no business in his house.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's right.
Amen. No, that's good.
So what you got to do, some of you lost some stuff, and you're trying to figure out how to get the stuff back, but you got to get your faith back. When you get your faith back, your stuff is in your faith.
It'll come.
When the faith comes back, everything that faith already had the victory over has to come back with your faith.
Yes.
Somebody said victory in faith.
Victory in
look
faith.
Look at this. They died not having received the promises,
right,
but having seen them afar off. Some of you seen some stuff, and it ain't even for you. It's for your grandchildren's children.
Oh.
But you're so selfish, you want it in your generation.
Want it for yourself.
Somebody better give God a praise. You better stop being selfish. And you are laying the foundation so that your great-grandchildren, Elder Joanne, and your great-great-grandchildren will never have to deal with diabetes.
Hallelujah.
Because you walked in that thing and got the victory for them now.
Yes, yes, yes. Love
they,
it.
They died not having received the promises, but they saw them. And they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? But verse 39, Pastor Vicky says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith.
Through faith.
Received not the promise. God having provided something better for us. that they without us should not be made perfect.
Amen.
When we talk, we're not going to hold you long this morning. We're talking about the victory of faith. We've already dealt with our last step. Praise him like you don't lost your mind.
Amen.
When everything else fails, we're preaching this message from the end to the beginning. And you'd already done praised them like you done lost your mind.
Yes, sir.
So even if you don't receive the promise, do what you did earlier in the service.
Yes.
Just keep praising him like you done lost your mind. Amen. When times get hard, it don't matter where you are.
Amen.
All you got to do, you want to confuse
praise
the enemy in the midst of a fight with
come
your spouse. Jump
on
up and just begin to praise
Hallelujah.
God. Begin to spin around in a circle and just give God praise.
That's
they be
it.
Like, this juggler done lost their everlasting mind up
but,
in here.
But that faith is what gets God's attention. Hallelujah.
You gotta get up in the midst of chaos sometime
mm-hmm.
and just begin to do something unnatural
mm-hmm.
and just begin to give God praise.
Yeah.
God, they told me I'm about to lose everything.
Yep.
But God, if I can just still have you.
Yeah.
If they can't repossess your spirit.
Yeah.
They can't take that back from me.
Yeah.
That is what you gave me. And if I got your spirit, I can get everything else
yes.
back again.
Yes. Yes.
So somebody ought to give him a praise
amen.
Right there. Amen. You can't take my spirit.
Can't take it.
That belongs to God.
Yes.
And he gave it to me.
Yes.
And ain't no man in the earth realm that can come and take that from me. Let's look at this. I don't even know. It's 10:48. Let's go to 11:15.
Okay. Man.
We already done shouted.
It sure did.
We already done worshiped.
Claimed the victory.
Told them that their faith is the victory.
It is the victory.
I don't know what else they need to hear from us.
Right? Should we just go home now?
No. We could close the book. If we wanted to be different.
I felt them over there saying, yeah, you could. I see you.
If we wanted to be different, we would drop the mic and walk out.
What you say? We bust the move.
Let's hit a couple of things on how to rule your kingdom by faith.
By faith.
How to rule your kingdom by faith. When we talk about the victory of faith, you can't get rule and you can't have rulership if you don't have faith.
That's
amen.
That's right. That's right.
You got to have faith. The Bible in Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
One of the things we already gave you, number one, and that was praise him like you done lost your mind. When you don't have the answer, just praise him. Amen.
Amen.
But one of the other things that I want to look at is when you're trying to walk by victory or when you talk about the victory through faith, one of the things is every promise that God has already made has already been finished.
Right.
The promise is already done when God says it.
That's right.
And so now all we have to do is walk back into that promise and get it. And if we ever really understood that, mm-hmm. we wouldn't waver and be tossed to and fro because we would already know we have the victory because God never tells us something mm-hmm. that he has not already perfected and performed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to catch this. But what the problem is, and you need to write this down, you have to consider your source. If you're going to have victory by faith, you have to consider the source. If the word of God is the source,
right.
and you believe the word of God concerning a matter in your life, and if this is the source, when you find that thing in the word,
right.
you already got the victory over it. So now if it's a sickness in the body, and the word of God says in Isaiah, by his stripes you were made healed. And then if he come back and remind you in Peter, by his stripes you are healed. You got to understand, you ain't trying to be healed. And so now you got to consider the source and you got to change how you report. But many of us take the source as being the doctor. And we say what the doctor said, and when the doctor becomes your source, you lose the power for healing.
Yes, yes.
You got to catch this. You lose the power for healing, and so you got to consider your source. When the world tells you you're broke, but the word of God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper, you got to consider the source. Who will you believe, the world, or will you believe the word of God? Will you believe what God has said?
Amen.
Look at this. Look at this in Numbers chapter 13. Go there quickly. Numbers chapter 13. Look at this. Look at this. When I talk about consider the source, the children of Israel, God told them to go and possess the land. He told him to go and put, he says, spy out the land. Yes. Look at this. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give. Underline it and highlight it.
I give.
Which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. So it was 12 tribes. They sent 12 men. All right. And so now look, jump over verse 25. And they returned, so they had enough obedience to go. But consider the source. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You see this? Verse 27. And they told him and said, we came into the land where they sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. It got everything surely. God said it has.
Surely.
And this is the fruit of it. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled with very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse 29, the Amalekites, we talked about them before. The Hittites, we talked about them. The Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. They saw all of the lights in the land. But then look at this, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Look at this. Who consider the source? Whose report will you believe? Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
Come on, victory.
Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. 33, and there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Look at this. Look at somebody and say, consider the source.
Consider the source.
Consider the source. Let me see 12 people quickly. 12 people. 12
right.
people. I got two. You see, y'all were the
three.
First two. Y'all come up here with me.
That's it. We're going to get it, baby. We're going to get it.
We're the good report people.
Good report people. You got to consider the source. You got to consider the source. When you deal with this, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
There we go.
Got them. Look at this. This is the picture of what I just read to you. God spoke to the children of Israel and said, go spy out the land, you 12 people. Moses, get 12 people. Go look at this land that I've already given you. The land is yours before you ever walk in it. I just need you to look at it, and then you tell me by faith, can you possess it?
Come on now.
If you look at it and you don't think you can have it, I won't give it to you.
Come on.
But if you look at it and you say what I said, you'll never have to fight a giant in that land.
Come on.
All you do is walk in and say, this is my territory, for God has given it unto me.
That's good.
But now look at this. Look at this. 12 people went. 12 people came back. So none of them was harmed in the land.
Right.
But when they came back to give the report, they says, everything that you said that was in that land is in that land. But man, there's some stuff in there that's too big for us. Y'all huddle up right here. Come closer. These 10 people came back with a defeated report. They came back with a report that we can't accomplish what God has already finished in our life. God, there's the obstacle is too big, and I can't get over this thing. And that's what you say when you look at what God has promised you and say, I can't do this.
Mm.
When you look at that promise and tell God opposite of what he's already gave you, now your faith goes offline, and now God turns you over to the enemy.
Mm.
But these two people in faith, yes, Caleb, he stands up. He says, hold on, be quiet. We are well able to go and get this land because God has given it to us.
Yes.
Caleb says something in the minority that the rights of the majority can't receive.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's dangerous to let your church be governed by the right of the majority. When your ministry is governed by the right of the majority, they're all saying the same thing, but it's not a faith-filled report.
Wow.
It's a fear-filled report.
Fear-filled.
And if fear fear is leading you, it will drive you into 40 years of bondage.
Yes.
You have been in bondage for every day that you deny the promise. You're going to have to do 1 year in the wilderness. And so now Caleb says we are able to go get the land, but they say we can't get the land, and the people believe them. And when the people believe the majority, the people were taken from God's will into man's will. And man's will led them into the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years because of whose report they believed.
Yes.
But what they didn't understand is this. When God makes you a promise,
yes,
it's what I call the playback effect or the TiVo effect. How many know what TiVo is?
Yes.
TiVo is when something has already been on, but you didn't see it.
Right.
And so you go back to look at it after the fact.
Yes.
But you know it's already been done. And so now if you don't know who won the U.S. Open, when you look down and see Serena, and just because she lose the first set, you get nervous because you think she lost the match.
Come on.
But if you consider the source and somebody call you and say, man, Serena came back and tore that girl up, you're still watching it because you haven't seen it, but because you got a report.
Come on.
And if you believe the person that called you, you watch it not in anxiety, but in anticipation.
Yes.
God, let me see what's going to come up next.
Yes.
Go ahead and take your seat. The TiVo effect.
Good. You watch it, babe, in anticipation of the expected end.
Oh,
because you know what the end is already going to be.
You already know what the report
Woo!
Is.
How many of you know the expected end? So we ought to be willing and excited about watching this thing, watching to see how God's going to play it out. Hallelujah.
See, Georgia lost to Clemson last night. But one game don't make the season.
Right. Well.
You understand? One game don't make the season. And what happens is many of us in this room have lost one battle.
Come on.
He didn't say you were going to win all of them.
Come on.
But he told you won.
Come on.
When I watched the 49ers. They don't have to have the most points in the first quarter.
Come on.
But when the clock hits 0-0-0-0 in the fourth quarter, if they lead by 1 point, we won the game.
Come on.
He didn't say nobody won't get hurt along the way.
Right. But you said one game don't make a season. I don't do sports, but I'm smart enough and wise enough to know one play don't make the game. There's multiple plays until the game is over. Come on, y'all, give me some on that. I don't even look at the sports, but I'm smart enough to know that. Come on. Some of us just ran one play and want to give up, but there's about 15 more plays you need to run. Come on, before the end is the end. And I'm going to run my plays to the end. Ain't that right, Elder?
That's it. You got to consider the source. Consider the source. Look at your neighbor and tell him your life is already played out. And all you got to do is walk it out in anticipation. If you catch that revelation right there.
Of the expected end. Don't forget that part.
You already got the victory.
Come on.
And just because it looked like you're losing a round.
Yes. I heard that while you were teaching that piece, baby. Anticipation of the expected end.
But since we got to finish on a certain time, let's just jump off of that one.
Okay, baby.
Consider the source. Your life is in a TiVo effect.
Uh-huh.
Your life has already been played out.
Right.
And all you're doing is watching it. And if Jesus is your source and the word of God is what you're believing, then you already know that you got the victory.
Now
you ought not be complaining and crying and moping and groping and walking in depression. And being led by fear and wondering what's going to happen. Who in the hell is scared when you know you won?
Come on. Who is scared? What the word say?
What are you scared of if you already got the report that you won the game?
Wow. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Come on.
So number one, you got to praise him like you lost your mind. Number two, you got to consider the source and know your life is just a playback.
Just a playback.
It's already over.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus said it's finished.
It was finished.
Everything was finished.
It was done.
My life was finished in him. There's nothing new that I can do. Even though I declare it's a new thing, it's only new to me. It's already finished in him. And we got to get over fear and get back in Christ. And when we get back in Christ, we get back in faith. And when we get back in faith, we have the victory.
Have it.
Somebody give
have
God it. A praise. Give me
Amen.
One more.
Amen. Jot this down. The victory of faith causes us to take uncommon risks. Yeah, the victory of faith causes us to take uncommon risks. We said that we'll never comprehend what God is doing and what he's saying if we continue to operate in the natural, right? Because he's operating in the supernatural. Am I correct? So when we do stay in the natural, it promotes what I call low-level, limited, and restricted thoughts and actions.
That's right.
Yeah, low-level, limited, restricted thoughts and actions when we stay in the natural. We limit our potential abilities to walk in the victory that we're entitled to. I want us to look at John 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all cooling down, calming down, and cooling off? Everybody calming down and cooling off now?
We were under construction.
Flip to John 2 in your cool-down moment. The mother of Jesus tells the disciples whatever he tells you to do, just do it. But let's just look at it a little bit. This is the passage that talks about Jesus changing water into wine, one of the first miracles, come on, that he actually performed in the earth realm that amazed those in his presence, all right? So John 2, go to verse 2. On the third day, see, you all know my teaching. We already opened up with the third day. Come, y'all need to find a 3 in whatever it is you're working through. Because 3 points towards the number of completion. Come on, argue for 3 days. Then you know, come on, this marriage is about to be solid, solid as a rock. Why? Because we argue 3 days straight.
Somebody say, you come on, 3 days?
3 days.
We've been here for 3 months.
3 weeks? 3 months? Let me just find the threes in what you're going through since it points towards the completion of a matter.
What they got to find, though, is not the problem. They got to find 3 couples that already overcame the problem.
3 couples?
And they got to submit the marriage to the multitude of counsel for where any 2 or 3 come together in my name.
Yep. You remember the home that Pastor Charlie and I are in now? Our dream home. Possessed it in our 30s, baby?
Uh-huh.
30s, you know.
No, we were 40.
We were 30s. And the Lord woke me up one day, you know, we trying to accumulate minister so much cash as we could because we knew closing was right around the corner, okay? God said, find 3 couples already living in their dream home and sow into them. Do what? Uncommon risks that we have to take. Take from the stash that I'm accumulating for closing and give to 3. I wasn't even teaching the number 3 at that time, but we did it and our closing came. Come on. It came to pass.
But look at this, Pastor Vicky. We had to deal with that again. You see, a part of about leading in faith is putting your faith on the line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For 3 months, Pastor Vicky and I have been trying to refinance our house. For 3 months, they had been saying, Mr. Ammons, we're going to close next week. We're going to close next week. And then something would come up and we couldn't close. Then they called me and said, Mr. Ammons, we can close the loan, but it's going to be 5-point-something% in interest. That's higher than what it is now. They said, you're going to need $47,000 down.
Hmm.
I didn't know too many people that had $47,000 in this season to put down on anything that they already live in.
Okay.
They said, you're going to need $47,000 down, and then they said it's going to cost you $12,000 in points.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the deal ever. But Pastor Vicky said, if God says it, let's walk this thing out and do it. We go and we pull the $40-some-thousand and set it up somewhere in an account to make it available, but the house would never close. The lady called me Thursday of this week. She says, Mr. Ammons, I'm so glad we didn't rush this thing.
Come on.
She says, we have your loan approved and we're going to close it next week.
Uh-huh.
She says, the interest rate is in the low 4s.
The low 4s.
She says, you don't need no money down.
No.
Take the $40,000 and put it back
down
where it came from. She said, there's no points on the loan. It's under $12,000. You don't need it. We had to take an uncommon risk and go and get the money just to see if we would do what needed to be done but in being obedient.
Yes.
God turned around and said, I just wanted to check your faith
in
what was not normal.
Yes.
To see if you would do it. And then when you do it, I'm going to take all of that back and I'm going to put it back where it belongs.
Come on. Uncommon risk. Huh. Y'all wrote that down? Uncommon risk. I love it.
Huh. That's the victory of faith.
That's
uncommon
the victory
risk.
Of faith. So it says on the third day, the wedding took place in Cana. Come on, Jesus' mother was there. Watch this. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. Write that down. Underline it. Star. Jesus was invited to the wedding. Sometimes we just have to remember to not omit Jesus when we're writing out the invitations. We got to invite Jesus into our heart and also into our situation and not overlook him and invite everybody else. We call everybody else. We bring everybody else over to explain our matter to. We call a meeting with everybody except Jesus.
Because if he was there, we couldn't complain and act a fool.
He wouldn't let us. He'd check us. But when we stay operating in that low level, come on, we have what? Low level, limited and restricted actions and limitations. So anyway, you know, we need to invite Jesus, inform him, hang out with him. But verse 3 says, when the wine was gone, somebody better be glad Jesus had been invited. Let's keep going. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. So she brought his problem. She was wise enough to know who to bring her problem to. All these wedding guests, all these disciples, even the bride and the groom, even the director slash directress of the ceremony was there. Come on, the people who you think should have been brought the problem. Mary was wise enough to bring the problem to Jesus. She said, they have no more wine. He says, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. But wise men and women know that Jesus is a problem solver. Am I right about it? Come on. We know that he will not remain content knowing that a need has gone unmet. He's not going to be content with that. So because of this wisdom, go to verse 5. Jesus' mother says to the servants, and this is what we pronounce and decree to each of us here, do whatever he tells you. In other words, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Whatever he, what, somebody say whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Come on.
But if he don't say nothing, you ought not be doing nothing.
You ought not be doing nothing. Don't do something in and of yourself. Be still. So just know that whatever he tells us to do is going to pull us up out of the natural and into the supernatural faith realm. And it will cause us to walk in the victory if we just do what he says. What are some examples? You get a report, you know, doctor's report or refinance report, you know, a denial or pre-qualification, and you've been denied, or you want to get a car, and you know, you get the paperwork, you know, and God says, take that into your prayer closet and just cover it, saturate it in the blood of Jesus. That don't make a bit of sense, but I've been there, I've done that, and I got the t-shirt. So now when I come out, come on, let me break this down. When I come out from the prayer closet where I saturated, come on, the pathology report's in the blood. Come on, when I go to read the report again, for some reason the blood of Jesus then cleansed the abnormal report. The blood of Jesus has made right what the pathologist saw wrong. So when we invite Jesus into our situation and he tells us to do something that don't make sense, like walk around that property that don't belong to you, act like you dropping trash and picking it up, just because Joshua says, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I'm going to give it to you. Come on. And we go out there walking around and people are like, may I help you? No, I'm just out here picking up some things that I drop. Come on. The victory of faith will cause us to take uncommon risks.
It'll make us look foolish because we walk in on somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
But in the text we just read in Numbers, some people already own the land, but God said, I gave it to you.
Yeah.
It ain't you that took their land. God took their land and gave it to you, but you're so concerned about them.
Yeah.
That you won't listen to him.
Won't listen to him.
Huh.
Let me
go ahead.
Let me do this. Go to verse 7. Jesus said to the servants, okay, fill the jars with water. Mary already prepared them. Whatever he say, do it. No matter how crazy it sounds. So Jesus says to the servants, fill the jars of water. Fill the jars with water. So they filled the water to the brim. Verse 8. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did. In verse 9, the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Come on. Everybody around you won't be able to understand what you've done and why you've done it. Come on. But you know because you heard the instructions directly. Am I right? From the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's your comment. Let me finish this. Then it says, then he called the bridegroom aside and says, normally everyone bring out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine when the guests have had too much to drink. Boom, but on. You, my friend, somebody say, but you, my friend, you have saved the best until now. So what is that saying? That's saying Jesus presented the best first.
Come on, baby.
And not last.
Not last.
When it was expected to be presented because of normal traditions and customary ways of doing things. So we thought we've tasted the best already. Yeah, because that's tradition. You bring out the best, and when everybody's drunk, you bring out the cheap stuff. Come on. So we think in this room, go with me, Monique, that we have already experienced the best of life.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
We think we've already seen the most money we're going to see in our account.
I hear you.
We think our marriage has already reached the peak. Come on.
I hear you.
Of marital relations and communications and intimacy.
We think we've already
tapped into the best.
Uh-huh.
But we're here to pronounce that the best is yet to come. It's not just a cliche. It's not just a well-known saying. But the best is yet to come is a profound statement that's centered around one's faith in the miraculous power, come on, that accompanies the name and the presence of Jesus.
Huh. So after you run out of good things to say to each other, after you run out of feeling emotionally connected, after you run out of love, after you run out of can't stand being around the person, it ain't the time to go to the court and file irreconcilable differences.
Come on. Come on. What time
is it? It's the time to bring Jesus back into
it. What time is it? I knew he was going there. I'm going to throw that plug in. What time is it?
It's time to bring Jesus back in.
It's time to bring him back.
And say we are empty on our own being and well-doing.
And we need you to fill us. My bank account is empty, but I need you to fill it. Because can nobody feel it like he can feel it, Elder Connie? When the world feels something, I come to realize, babe, it's temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Come on, Elder. But it's something about when Jesus fills the jar. Come on. And it overflows. Come on. From the brim or from the top of it. He gives us enough, not just for us and our four and no more, but he gives us enough to saturate and share with others. He releases in an overflow and an abundance. How else can one man, Elder Rashida, get up on a cross and die? Come on. For the sins of not just one man, but for the sins of the masses. Because he operates in overflow and abundance.
Huh,
somebody shout hallelujah.
Somebody shout the victory of faith.
The victory of faith.
You got to remember, faith is the victory. You can't miss that point. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. And so when we talk about the victory of faith, we talk about, once again, you got to praise him like you done lost your mind. When you're going up against obstacles,
you got to
consider the source. And let me say this about the source quickly is some of you telling your business to people that ain't on your side.
Wow.
They look friendly, but they're not your friend.
Wow.
And they don't even believe the report that you're giving them. I was on the phone with a man of God just on Friday, and the man of God says, I saw what you're doing, and I said to myself, they're going to have a hard time doing that. They ain't going to believe it, be able to do that. I said, hold on, this is a man of God that don't understand that he's speaking against what God has told me to do, and he's bold enough in casual conversation because he's blind to it and he don't know he's speaking doubt.
Blind.
You gotta understand, you telling folk the big thing that God said, they laughing with you, but when they leave, they laughing at you.
Lesson
so you got
learned.
To get your mouth shut.
Come on, babe.
You gotta suck up some stuff
Lesson
and stop
learned.
Telling haters.
Come on. your business.
What God done said, because when they leave you, they say, man, he ain't going to be able to do that. She ain't going to be able to do that. And you think they praying for you. They praying on you.
Everybody can't handle your faith project.
Everybody can't handle it. Consider your source.
Everybody can't
consider
handle
who you're talking to. Consider who you're talking to. Take uncommon risk.
Wow. Take uncommon risk.
Take uncommon risk. And then in 7 minutes, and we move.
Go ahead, babe.
Take uncommon risk. Something about that thing right there, God just put it on my spirit.
Yes.
We're telling too many people that look like they're with us
our
information, and they are the ones that's holding us back.
Yes.
And so I'm not saying cut people off in your life. I'm not that type of person.
Right.
But I'm saying evaluate who you're supposed to be talking to in this season of your life. Everybody that's friendly can't handle what God is doing right now. And so you can't tell them everything he's doing. Mm-hmm. Talk to them just on a casual level.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to other people on a more in-depth level.
Yes.
Because some people is using what you say for your disadvantage and for their advantage.
Yes, that's it.
Huh.
That's it,
so consider your source. The fourth, is this four?
Yes.
This four?
I believe it.
Look at somebody and say, you got to act like a professional.
Act like a professional.
If you already know you got the victory, you got to act like a professional.
Okay, come on, babe.
Money Mayweather is about to beat this boy up in a couple of weeks, Mike. But he acting like a professional. You got to stop acting scared and stop acting anxious. For the Bible in Philippians says, be anxious for nothing.
Wow.
1 Timothy 6:12, somebody said, act like a professional.
Act like a professional.
Why do I say that? Because it's right here in this scripture.
Good.
1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Lay hold on eternal life.
Yes.
Whereunto you are also called and has professed. You see that word professed? Underline it and circle it. That is a precursor to the word professional.
Mm-hmm.
And has professed a good profession. There's the word profession before many witnesses. Look at somebody and tell them, baby, act like this ain't your first fight.
Act like this is not your first fight.
Have anybody ever had a fight with the enemy?
Yes.
Has anybody had multiple fights with
multiple.
The enemy?
Multiple.
Has anybody had wins in fights that you had?
Yes.
Has anybody taken a loss every once in a while?
Losses,
but
yes.
Is anybody still a professional?
Yes.
Look at somebody and tell them, this ain't the time to retire,
this
baby.
Is not the
you
time
got to act
retire.
Like a professional.
Act like a professional.
You got to get back up and get back
get
in the
back
fight.
Up.
Slap somebody a high five and tell them, act like this ain't your first fight.
Act like this ain't your first
you gotta,
fight.
You got to stop being a rookie. You've been a few rounds already.
Yes.
You done been a few rounds with the enemy.
Yes.
And you haven't lost the fight
not
yet.
A fight.
You got to stay in the fight. Look at somebody and say, act like a professional.
Act like a professional.
Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence.
Yes.
You understand, when you get in the fight and you don't have no confidence, you already
ooh,
lost the fight.
Yes, yes. It makes
when
you weak.
When you step on the field, they assess you to see what your body language is like.
Yeah.
When you act like a professional, you realize Jesus is the ring manager.
Come on.
And when you step in the court, all you gotta in the ring, all you gotta do is use the net manager's name.
Yeah.
And when you're acting like a professional, when you're down, all you gotta do is call on your manager.
Jesus. Jesus.
When you realize that when you call on Jesus,
yes, Jesus.
Not only is he the manager, he's the referee.
Referee?
He can call a timeout.
Come on.
You want to throw in the towel? He said, no, just come back to the corner.
Yes.
I got to remind you of the last thing you got over.
Yes.
I got to remind you of the last obstacle you overcame. I got to remind you of the last hurdle you leaped over.
Yes.
You got to remember who your coach is, and you got to remember who
Jesus.
Trained you. Look at somebody and say, act like a professional.
Act like a professional.
Act like a professional. That's all I'm going to say about that. Revelations 12:11
mm-hmm.
says they overcame him by the blood of the manager.
Now the blood of the manager, blood of the lamb.
Stop running because they struck blood in you. It ain't your blood that he's after. It's his blood. And when you put the blood of Jesus over your life, it causes you to have the victory over any issue in your life.
Yes.
But we have gotten too saved to rely on the blood.
On the blood.
We don't believe in the power of the blood anymore. We only deal with the blood on Resurrection Sunday. Okay. And the blood has no value the rest of the year.
Come on, every
but
day.
But I dare three people to just stand under the blood.
Every
just jump on your feet and lift your hand and
life.
Say, I still believe in the blood.
I still believe
I
in
still
the blood.
I still need the blood.
Every day.
I'm going to stay under the blood.
I'm stay under
I'm
the
covered
blood.
In the blood.
I'm covered
the
by the blood.
Blood is my standard.
The blood is,
the
my,
blood is my life.
It's my
the
life.
Blood is my victory.
The blood is my victory.
I got faith in the
I
blood.
I believe in the blood.
Baby, go ahead and do one more and then we close. I won't even do the last one. Do what you do. And whatever
wow.
thou doest, do it quickly. You good?
Yeah, because we had already lifted up the fact that how do we know we have really attained the victory that God has promised us? I did this in a previous series. And I talked about how when our spirit, come on, not our mind, not our body, but our spirit. Come on, that's why we say out of your belly, our spirit. Come on, is the belly is the housing unit of the Holy Spirit. When our spirit, write it down if you didn't before, interacts and becomes one with the Spirit of God. Come on, we now receive the promise that he has given us no matter what it looked like when we wake up the next morning. Yeah, that's why sometimes when it's late at night and you're getting ready to go to bed, that's prime time to bust a move and commence your spirit into the hands of God. That's what Jesus did when he regurgitated three words, it is finished. He said that, what did he say? He said, I commend my spirit into thy hands, O Lord. And then he bowed his head and said, it's finished. We don't have to keep wondering or working or guessing what we're going to do because it's finished when our spirit interacts. The same thing occurred in Stephen. I lifted it up last week. When Stephen was at the point of being stoned to death. Y'all remember that? And he had to plead his case because when you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, right is right and wrong is wrong and you don't bite your tongue, that was Stephen. Stephen had to plead the case, but even as they began to stone him, not only did he say, Father, forgive them like Jesus did of their sin, he says, I release my spirit into your hands, O Lord, and he bowed down and died. But I come to announce that Stephen encountered a natural death, a physical death. So it is with us in this room. We have to kill and crucify our flesh. Yeah, we don't have to. I'm not talking about a physical death, but I'm talking about killing and crucify that which is physical, and that's our flesh. Come on, we have to crucify the frustration. We have to crucify the anger. We have to crucify the unforgiveness. We have to do what Stephen did, and we have to release our spirit into the hands of God, and we got to kill anything that's causing us to operate in the natural or in the flesh that's causing us to be stoned to death. Come on, some of us have been going through, Elder Connie, a slow, painful process of being stoned. People's words are they're hurling insults. Come on, they're hurling complaints. Come on, they're launching impossible tasks that you know you can't accomplish anymore. And so they're throwing these stones and it just seems like a slow, painful process for us. But when we release our spirit back into the hands of God, we begin to say, I crucify my flesh, the worry, the frustration. Come on, those things that hinder and delay and deny us. Come on, from the things of God, the doubt, the fear. Come on, the guilt, the shame. Come on, the regrets of our past. Come on, y'all. I'm talking about crucifying our flesh. Are we all guilty? I say yes, because my word says all have sinned, all are sinning, and all are coming short of the glory of God. And we have to reinvite Jesus in and say, God, I need you to come in and cleanse my mind. Come on. Our heart, saints, is pure as gold, but it's the mind that's the battlefield for the enemy.
Hallelujah.
This is where he's playing games at. Come on. And we have to lay hands on your mind at this time and just command even your mind to line up. Amen. With what your spirit is already showing you. Bring your mind, I call it, into subjection up underneath the spirit of God. Because when you interact with the Spirit of God, you now become one with Him, and you take inheritance, or possession rather, of what He has shown you and told you, and your mind doesn't delay you any longer and cause you to operate in the flesh.
That's it.
Amen. That's
it. Look at this. We have to set a new standard. When we talk about the victory of faith, we have to set a new standard in Christ. We close with saying to you in Romans 5 and 17, it says, for if by one man's offense,
one man,
death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace in the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one Jesus Christ. We have to set a new standard that we're no longer under the Adamic nature, but we're now moving to the nature of Christ.
Christ, yes.
When we talk about setting a standard for victory, we understand a standard is a banner.
Yes.
And we have to raise the banner. And when you raise the banner, you have to look at the name Jehovah Nissi.
Yes.
Jehovah Nissi, yes, simply says the Lord is our banner. In Exodus 17:15. In other words, the Lord is the standard,
yes,
for my life.
Yes.
I'm going to elevate a new standard that I walk according to the name of God. And
yes,
I understand that in this standard, our opening scripture said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's a new standard.
Yes.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
As you stand on your feet this morning,
yes,
faith is not the stuff that you have.
No.
Faith does not even care about your stuff. Faith is your relationship with Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Revelation says the serpent was cast into the world, or into the earth. But the word of God says you don't have to worry about that, because he's in the world, but you got Christ in you. And so you have the greater one, and all you got to do is remind the enemy when he shows up in your face,
yes,
that you already got the victory.